Okay, we're with Dr. Kelly Turner. We're talking about her work, Radical Remission. We're going to take your phone calls, questions, stories next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. We're with Dr. Kelly Turner, and of course, we'll take your phone calls this hour. Kelly, what was it that got you interested in this entire field in the first place?
Well, I started working with cancer patients initially due to some personal events that happened when I was younger. Specifically, a good friend of mine was diagnosed with cancer when we were only 14.
Oh, boy.
And he passed away when we were 16. So after Harvard, when I was trying to figure out, you know, where my calling was, it didn't take me long to figure out that it was in helping cancer patients. But I was just counseling them. I was a counselor for cancer patients, and that's all I was planning on doing. And that's when I came across my first case of radical remission, and I realized later that night that there were 1,000 of these cases that no one was looking at, and that just sort of lit a fire under me that couldn't go out until I went back for my PhD at Berkeley and really dug into it.
The FDA, of course, clamps down on anybody who says this will cure this, so they don't want to hear any of that. But at the same time, there's a lot of data out there now. Again, you talk about 1,000 documented cases of radical remission where mainstream medicine just cannot explain, can they?
Right. That's the definition of radical remission. It's a remission from cancer that conventional medicine cannot explain.
Do oncologists shake their head? I mean, what do they say behind the scenes when a patient who's got a massive tumor and then it's gone?
Most of them are really shocked and happy for the patient. You know, they're just in awe. And they say, you know, I have one of my subjects works at a hospital, believe it or not. And he just kept postponing his chemo because the energy healing that he was doing and the emotional work he was doing was making his tumor shrink. And he's, to this day, as every time I pass my surgeon in the hall, she just shakes her head at me in bafflement, you know? So most oncologists are just baffled by it. There are a few, unfortunately, who have told the people that I study not to tell other people in the waiting room about their healing. And I think that that's taking it too far. Worrying about raising false hope to the extent of silencing something that actually truly happened.
Right.
Is taking it too far. And it also is not what a good scientist should do. A good scientist is actually supposed to study anomalies. So when an anomaly comes across your theoretical field, you know, when you're studying something and somebody pops up way off your grid and doesn't behave the way you expect them to, it's your scientific responsibility to look into that. And that's how penicillin was discovered. That's how the X-ray was discovered. So it's actually important for us to study anomalies.
Why do some people, Kelly, you know, they live to their 90s, they never get cancer, they die of basically old age, and other people, they're in their 30s, 40s, they get the cancer and it kills them. Why really the difference? How can a 90-year-old be able to, you know, have that kind of immune system?
If I had the answer to that, George, I would have the cure for cancer.
Yeah, you probably would.
I wish I knew. You know, people, the old standard answer was genetics. The one thing I'd like to say to that is that that's not a valid answer anymore, because we have now the field of epigenetics, which is a scientific field, not pseudoscience. It's a fantastic new understanding of genes. So I'll just describe it briefly here. But the field of epigenetics in the past 30 years has discovered that, yes, we can inherit a flawed gene from our parent, but whether or not that gene is turned on or off has to do with our behavior. And so we can control which genes are turned on or off. We can't control what our parents give us, but it's like a light switch. It's only going to cause trouble if it's turned on. And so what we eat, what we breathe, and what we think and feel can turn genes on and off.
All right, let's go to the phones for you. We'll start by going to Dorothy in Garberville, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Dorothy, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
This is my first call.
Well, very
I'm
good.
I'm amazed I got through. Well, I have a comment to make about alternative therapies and for cancer, and also I have my own tale of radical remission, even though it's not a cancer tale, it is another tale, and I have a little bit of a cautionary tale to go with it.
Great.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, the first thing I wanted to say about cancer is there's research being done on high CBD cannabis, medical cannabis, and they're having really good luck with that. There
Absolutely.
Have been some studies done, and it's amazing.
That's one of the supplements that has come up in my research.
Ah. Okay, so you're on that page. Good.
Well, certain people have used that. You know, not everyone uses the same supplements, but that is one supplement that some of the people that I study use, and it's been now being tested in clinical trials.
Yeah, it's also been, they're also starting to find it's working well for children with epilepsy.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's amazing. My tale of radical remission is for hepatitis C.
Mm-hmm.
A little over 20 years ago, I was diagnosed with it, and I was really fortunate. My doctor was a recovering addict, and he told me his patient instructions for me was 90 meetings in 90 days, get a sponsor, no drugs or alcohol, see me in a month.
Wow.
And I had a friend who also had hepatitis C, and she had been to a naturopath and spent a lot of money seeing a doctor down in the Bay Area that I simply couldn't afford to go to, but she was good enough to give me let me take notes on her protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And so I cut out white sugar, white flour, did milk thistle, did this stuff from enzymatic therapy called Immunoplex, which I understand they don't make anymore. And
well, you did it all right, that's for sure.
Yeah, I ate hippie food. I ate like a hippie.
You ate fruits and vegetables, it sounds like.
Yeah, a lot, you know. And it was gone for a long time. I got better and better and better. When I first got, sober and started doing this, I couldn't get over a cold without antibiotics. I mean, it turned into some nasty thing in my lungs. I had no immune system whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And, my doctor would tell me, your liver is healing. And
was he in shock?
No. I think you've seen this before.
Hmm.
I don't think I'm his first success story.
Well, if his first recommendation is 90 meetings in 90 days, he sounds like a doctor who would see more of these recoveries.
That's true, too. Now, is there a mainstream doctor, Kelly, medical doctor, MD, who specializes in this, an oncologist who also does holistic, too?
Definitely. They're called integrative oncologists or functional medicine oncologists. And if you just go to the Society for Integrative Oncology, you can look up all the members. I could list off a few right now, but I'd hate to list off a few and forget somebody.
No, I understand.
But, yeah, Society for Integrative Oncology, you can just go and look people up right there.
Let's go to Monroe, North Carolina on the wild card line. We have Jason there for you. Hi, Jason. Good morning.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say I'm a Coast Insider, and I love it. It's such a great program to be a part of.
Thank you.
One little idea, you might consider giving us our own number to call in on. A little less competition.
Mm-hmm. Not a bad idea.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask your guest, I've read some articles that discuss altering the pH, the overall pH of your body by eating, certain foods. And basically the conclusion was that if you alter your pH, you can make it to where the cancer cells cannot even survive in the pH of your body if you alter it in a certain direction. And I wanted to see, if that has come up in any of her studies. And also wanted to ask her, has she studied spontaneous healings? not just remissions, but people that were maybe went to a church service or some religious thing like that and were literally healed, because we hear stories of you know, instant healing like that too.
Yeah, definitely, Jason. Well, thanks for calling in. The idea of eating a more alkaline diet and getting your body more alkaline as opposed to acidic is certainly something that the people, the radical remission survivors that I study, they did definitely talk about that. The science behind that is still in development. So there's, you know, we don't know for sure how much of an impact we can really have on our blood chemistry through diet, because our bodies work very hard to keep our pH in a very tight, actually alkaline place. So your body already works to keep yourself alkaline. However, there is some indication that if you help your body stay alkaline by eating alkaline stuff as opposed to dumping a lot of inflammatory foods into your system, which would create an acidic environment in your digestive tract, and then your body has to work extra hard to get back to alkaline. So there is some indication that we can help our bodies stay alkaline and stay there more easily by eating, you know, an alkaline-producing diet. What I find more compelling, whether, you know, acidic, alkaline, that's kind of controversial at the moment. What I find more compelling scientifically is this idea of inflammation. So eating what's called the alkalizing diet leads to less inflammation in your tissue. And less inflammation has been linked to lower cancer rates. So, yes, I have heard in my research that eating an alkalizing diet is something that the people that I study do to get well. And an alkalizing diet is simply at least half your plate should be raw to lightly steamed vegetables and fruit. If you have that, you're eating an alkalizing meal. So thanks for bringing that up. It definitely goes along with the trends that I've noticed in my research. And the idea of instant healing, you know, that word spontaneous often brings to mind instant healing. A few of the people that I have studied who had radical remissions, it was instant. It was within, you know, one meditation practice, it was within one church service, or it was within, you know, 3 days when they were in a coma and they had an out-of-body experience, and when they came to, their cancer was gone. But really, the majority of people that I study, it takes a year or two. So, and that just, you know, that could be because that's who I've been studying. All I can say is it's the exception that it happens instantly.
Edgar Cayce once said, if you eat 3 raw almonds a day, you will never get cancer. What do you think of that?
You know, a lot of people that I study do study Edgar Cayce, and they follow different. He said a lot of things. He said 3 almonds a day. He said castor oil. And
he's probably right about everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of it, you know, anything in moderation, and anything that you're doing not in moderation, if it feels right for your body, maybe that's what you needed, you know, at that moment to get back into balance. You know, 3 almonds a day, I don't know if that's going to do it, but it can't hurt.
No, not at all. Next up, we go to Seth in Johnson City, Tennessee. Seth, thank you for calling. Go ahead. Seth, go ahead. We're on a delay, and he's not going to make it. Oh, well.
Sorry, Seth.
He'll hear me say that any second now. Andy's in Long Beach. Go ahead, Andy. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. I don't have any health issues. I'm pretty healthy myself, but I was doing some research for a friend of mine who has rheumatoid arthritis and multiple sclerosis. As far as the diet change, I've been wanting to call and share with Coast to Coast listeners that haven't found the Gerson Institute and the work that Dr. Max Gerson did back in the 30s.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Yes. I wanted to ask you, George, if you've ever had anyone from the Gerson Institute on your show.
Not from the Institute, but we've had stories about them.
Yes. For your guests, I wanted to ask, they have a very specific protocol and very a specific juicer. I don't know if I can mention the brand name. It does retail for about $2,500. It's very expensive, but it pulps your vegetables and fruits and then presses the juice out, as compared to most juicers that just
grind it
until it's juice. And I just wanted to get her comments on any benefits from that, and if she's heard about the Pearson Institute through any of her clientele.
Hi, Andy. Well, thanks for calling in. Yes, I've definitely heard of the Gerson therapy, and quite a few of the people that I've studied have used the Gerson protocol in their path to wellness. So I haven't studied anyone who just did that and didn't do anything mentally and emotionally. Like I said, the nine factors that have come up in my research really seem to cover like the whole mind, body, spirit. But in terms of working on the body, yes, many of the people that I study who have radical remissions have followed the Gerson protocol. And for the listeners who aren't familiar with that, I'm certainly not an expert, nor am I, you know, condoning it. But just to describe it, it's a protocol that involves daily enemas, daily coffee enemas, a lot of juicing of fruits and vegetables, especially carrots, and, you know, a very restricted diet in terms of basically just eating a lot of fruits and vegetables for a period of intense time. And I believe that there are also supplements involved. So they have a center down in Tijuana, Mexico, that is not allowed to be in the U.S. because in the U.S. you're only allowed to treat cancer with the standard of care. It's illegal to treat it without chemo.
Too radical, isn't it?
Yeah, it's too radical, right.
What about the juicing and blending? Does it matter? I mean, you're still going to get everything.
You know, I'm not an expert in juicing, but the people that I study use both masticating and non-masticating juicers. So whether one, you know, what Andy's referring to is a masticating juicer, I believe, that really pulps the juice first, kind of squeezes it and really, you know, pounds it as opposed to just grinding it.
Yeah, but my point is if you're still getting it all, right, whether you pulp it, step on it, squeeze it, you're still getting it, right?
You are still getting it. The people who are a big fan of the different juicers would say that if you masticate it too much, if you pound it too much, you're actually wrecking the enzymes. I believe that's the argument. And that, you know, there could be some truth in that, but you know, if you're juicing organic vegetables, you're doing something good for your body. So I wouldn't worry too much about how much it's being pulped or not.
Well, that's true too. For people who want more information, they go to your website. But where do you get your book, Radical Remission?
You can get it anywhere books or ebooks are sold. So in a bookstore or online at your favorite book retailer, it'll be there.
Why do you think positive, you know, pushing and you know, positive emotions, why do you think that's so important?
Well, I first like to say that having a positive attitude is not one of my findings. Increasing positive emotions is, because having a positive attitude implies that you have to be happy all the time. And what that has led to is these poor cancer patients feeling like they're killing themselves by not feeling happy. And that's a terrible result, unfortunately, of the power of positive thinking movement. You know, all this guilt about being scared for a day, right? The people that I study don't say that at all. They say that they had days or even months where they were petrified or depressed. But even in their hardest moments, they tried to find 5 minutes of joy.
See, that's critical. Kelly, we're going to come back and take final phone calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, we talk about the fog, a never-before-published theory of the Bermuda Triangle phenomenon. We're going to talk about Flight 370 and that mystery as well. Have you watched our television program yet? Beyond Belief, you can. 10 days free, take advantage of it. You can even watch it on your big screen through Roku, or however you want to pronounce it. But it's available there, too. Now, when you do that, You've got to go to Gaiam TV, G-A-I-A-M TV, and then you search for programs and then Beyond Belief, and there we are. But the simplest way for you right now is to go to this website, beyondbelief.com. That's beyondbelief.com. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Kelly Turner with us, of course. And let us go to Sylvia in Miami, Florida. Hey, Sylvia, go ahead.
Hi, Kelly. I wanted to share a couple of quick stories with you. When I was a child in Cuba, I remember that we were often given herbs and natural things for different ailments. So when my dad was diagnosed with prostate cancer in the 70s, I went out and started looking for a book. I found Back to Eden, which was by Jethro Kloss, written in 1934. I don't know if you're familiar with that book, but he was fighting cancer back then. And yeah, so my mom and I, I'm sorry.
I've heard of it, yeah.
It's an awesome book, and it's amazing that from the things that he wrote about in 1934 and how many people he cured. So my mom and I started giving my dad different teas, different poultices, pastes, whatever we needed to do that was in that book, we did for my dad. Now, they only gave him a few months. They were going to try to operate and remove the prostate, but he had an infection, so they sent him home with antibiotics. That's when we took over with all these different natural things. When my dad went back, they couldn't figure out what happened, but the prostate cancer was gone, and he died of a heart attack maybe not like 9 or 10 years later. So it had nothing to do with the prostate. So that worked. We did not change a lot of his diet. He was making sure he ate right, but back then there wasn't a lot of information about a lot of that. So basically it was what Dr. Kloss said in the Back to Eden. Now, back in the late 90s, my mom was diagnosed with multiple myeloma. And she did the chemo, she did the radiation, she went through that route, but it got to where things weren't really working for her. So the doctor sent her home with a morphine patch. And I used to have to carry her to the bathroom and that type of thing. And she just said to me, remove the patch. I don't want to live like this. So the doctor said, no way. She would go into shock. My mom said, who cares if I'm dying? I don't care about going into shock. Take the thing off. So I removed the patch. I started kicking in with red clover, which was for blood, selenium. I started buying her all the vitamins, minerals, amino acids. Everything was in liquid form, which, you know, of course, goes into the body a lot faster. So I started giving her all these things. I mean, she used to say, I know you're giving me things and everything. I used to say, Mom, you want a juice. Mom, you want this. Mom, and I would throw all these herbs and natural things into them. Not that she didn't believe in them, but she was just in that kind of a state. My mom started getting better and better and better to a point where I started being able to cook for her. I cooked a lot of salmon, steamed with asparagus, a lot of ginger, a lot of herbs, but a lot of natural things. Quinoa in liquid, almond milk, soy milk. I mean, this was, like I said, was in the middle 90s, so there still wasn't a lot of things, but there was enough available. I was reading a book called besides Back to Eden, Prescription for Nutritional Healing. And this went on for a few months. My mom started walking well again. She started driving, which she had not done in a while. I mean, she ended up going to my niece's wedding up in Georgia. My niece, 10 months later, was pregnant. She had the baby. My mom went up there to receive the baby. I mean, she went into total remission. Now, during this time, she did have a bit of a car accident where it messed up one of her ribs and some of the cancer cells grew back. The new doctor that she got refused to let me use any kind of natural things at all. It was radiation. It was chemo. It was all these shots. I mean, they killed her. He said he would not attend to her. She didn't want to lose him as a doctor because he was supposed to be known as a very well-known doctor. But I noticed all his patients died, and she did not trust the natural things anymore. She just believed in him to such a point where he gave her so many drugs. She got very, very weak. She stopped walking. I mean, she just became ill. They were giving her all these painkillers, and eventually she died. And so I just wanted to share that so that people do fight for what they need to do and don't listen to doctors, you know, when they tell you don't do anything natural, you know, go this route, because I really, truly, truly believe my mom would still be alive today if she had not gone their route and continued to do the natural things that I was doing for her. So that's what I wanted to share.
So
and thank you for doing this show. I think it's awesome. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Are you aware, Kelly, of the Hoxie treatment and therapy?
I'm not aware of the Hoxie treatment.
All right, listen to this story. No, well, he's got one place left in Tijuana, the people who are now doing it, because he's long since dead. But his grandfather had a horse farm in, I believe it was in Illinois. and noticed that a horse had a major tumor on his leg, and it disappeared. But he watched what the horse ate in the pastures, all these different kinds of herbs and plants, and he grabbed them all, and he made this concoction. And Harry Hoxie, who was a former coal miner and insurance man, he got together with a radio person of the time, back in the 20s and 30s, and they started making these clinics. And, of course, you know, government chased them and, you know, got them. But apparently they were working. Mm. It's amazing. But it included zinc, bloodroot, sulfur, a whole bunch of stuff, a whole bunch of stuff. And
that sounds like a bunch of the herbs and supplements that the people that I study now take. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it really is. You might want to study Hoxsey, Hoxsey Therapy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard of that name. Of that name.
And it's at the Biomedical Center in Tijuana, Mexico.
Okay. They must be right down the street from the Gerson Center.
You know what? They may be. Why are they all in Tijuana? Because it's easier for Americans to get there?
Because it's right. You can drive there from San Diego. Yeah. Yeah. You can. You fly to San Diego. It's a quick trip across the border. You spend a week or two or 3 weeks, you know, at their center, going through their protocol, learning how to bring it back to your house, and then you can bring it home. So for people who have no other options, often it's nice to know that they have some place that they can go and try to get well.
Let's go to Louisiana. Dave's with us now on the wild card line. Dave, you're on with Dr. Turner.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing, David. Thank you.
Yeah, let's see. It was Christmas in 99. I got operated on. They gave me the good news that I had hepatitis C. Once I recovered, they told me I was in end-stage liver disease, which I think was misdiagnosed. But anyway, I come down with cancer last year, and before I got to see the doctor I wanted, I just quit eating all of the processed foods and began eating nothing but fruits and vegetables and made sure I got good, clean water. And I was fixing to go to New Mexico. I heard of a doctor there who had a treatment that, you know, cured people who had what I had. And at the last minute, I found a local doctor, and she's a regular MD. And she just sends me to do blood work every month. And she triggers my immune system off of my lab works. And she's got everything going in the right direction now. I still got the cancer and everything, but it's not near as bad as it used to be. And I used to have a little pain in my side, but all that's gone. And I'm actually out looking for work now because I was to the point where I couldn't even work. But I just wanted to call and tell the doctor, I think it's the your own immune system that really does the battle.
Absolutely, Dave. Thanks for calling in and sharing your, you know, you're probably technically in remission. The word remission means that even if cancer is present, it is stable and not causing any problems. So remission can either be there's no evidence of cancer in your body, or it's there, but it's stable and it's not doing anything. It's kind
what
of dormant.
What a great word, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. It's a great thing to hear.
Yeah, I think some people are like, oh, you know, it's still there. It's, you know, I still have cancer. It's still hurting me. But, you know, one of the people I study was diagnosed with lung cancer 5 years ago, and he kept postponing conventional treatment. His tumors are still there. They've shrunk considerably. And they're just not doing anything. And so they don't bother him, and he continues with his healing process, and everything's fine.
Stress kills. Why?
Stress kills because it hampers the immune system. And, that's what we're talking about today, the immune system. Our bodies have this amazing ability to heal itself if we give them the right support. And when we give our bodies chronic stress, we hinder the immune system. We know that from clinical trials, right? So a famous one is they brought in people and they had them fill out all these surveys, and then they gave half of them squirts of the cold virus up their nose, and half of them squirts of saline. But they didn't tell people which one they were getting. And of all the factors they were tested on, their diet, their age, their other illnesses, everything, the only thing that was statistically significant in making a difference about whether or not people caught the cold was stress. So stress hampers your immune system and makes you more vulnerable to disease.
Diane is in Ontario, Canada. Hello, Diane. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm telling you, George, I've called your show a lot, and it's actually helped me understand what's happened to me.
Good.
So much trauma to my body. I'm the one who said I was in a 9-year, like, walking coma just from spine injuries, no blood flow to my head.
I found
an acupuncturist, and again, I've had more severe injuries to my spine. Like, my Adam's apple was shoved in. I couldn't breathe, choke. You know, doctors, like, even at the emergency, it's like they're in a hurry, I guess, to treat you. But when you're, it's kind of like you're so slow, you can't get the words out. And they don't really take time to examine you, ask questions. And it's like you're a zombie. But with miracles, I went to the library today, like, worried about all the medication and side effects. And I was looking up hepatitis because I felt like a pain and kind of a growth where the liver would be. I couldn't breathe where the trauma was to the thoracic area. I couldn't feel my heartbeat. It's like, I guess, partial, like, paralysis. And with your show, I tried magnesium, malic acid, like a month ago. That pain and inflammation people end up getting, like they say, from fibromyalgia or when the weather is bad, your whole body and tissue. It took that inflammation and that achiness and pain away from my entire body. It relaxed my muscles. I couldn't believe it. I just don't know what dose. It's kind of like medications I'm given are making my joints worse, like, but I can't express all the symptoms to the doctors and they don't have time. But you had two callers talking about this liver stuff, and my doctor called with my results to come in because I'm concerned. I feel that pain. And the way the magnesium worked, I just couldn't believe it. Like, I just...
Well, you know, you've said, Diane, something very important. That is the dosage of the supplements. Kelly, how do we know how much to take?
Well, I'm so glad you brought this up, George, because supplements are medicine. You know, they're plant-based things, but they're as strong as medicine. So you really need to be under the supervision of a health professional if you can. And that could be a naturopathic doctor, it could be a Chinese herbalist, it could be a nutritionist, or it could be, if you have one, an integrative MD who knows enough and has studied enough to know the right dosage.
We have John now in Des Moines, Iowa. Hey, John, go ahead.
Hey, I love you, man, George and Dr. Kelly. Appreciate you being on our show tonight.
Sure thing.
I feel good about this show and the information that I get, and I, you know, take a lot of this to heart. I feel a little bit, on the flip side, I think it's a little beyond creepy when you said that it's illegal to treat without chemo. And so, like, the scientific method says, you know, it speaks of trial and error. And freedom speaks of the right to choose. It seems government is violating both. So, like, Elizabeth, you know, Kubler-Ross and Right to Die, I mean, I'm just like, you know, it's like they assume they own our bodies. And I am really positive, and I do feel good about the show. But who are they, you know, to tell
so
our families how we want to treat ourselves and manage our end of life, if that's what it comes to? But really great show tonight, and I appreciate you guys.
All right. You know, he's absolutely right, Kelly. I mean, government tries to just get involved in everything we do all the time. I mean, enough is enough. But explain that, what you said earlier then about the chemotherapy, if you would.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, John, because it is something that comes up a lot in my research. It's illegal for a medical doctor to practice outside of their scope of practice. And that's for the protection of the public, right? You don't want someone giving you a treatment that hasn't been, you know, tested at all or proven at all. But it really limits them into, you know, trial and error or trying things that, you know, when the standard of care isn't working, you know, their only option is to send you home on hospice, right? So it is currently illegal for an MD to treat cancer with outside of the standard of care. Now, it's not illegal for you to say, okay, well, I'm going to go elsewhere then because I'd like to try other things. So you're still free to go and find the doctors or the health practitioners that will work for you. that an MD, you know, is legally bound for to the standard of care.
All right, we've got time for one or two more quick calls. Fast couple hours here, Kelly, huh?
Yeah. This has been surprisingly easy to stay awake at this hour.
Let's go to Cindy in Columbia Falls, Montana.
Hi, George. How are you?
Cindy, I'm doing great. Thanks.
Good. I've called before. My daughter passed away 6 months ago of stage 4 breast cancer. She had triple positive. And, Kelly, the reason I'm calling is about the HER2-new, when a woman has triple positive. Now, she, at 28, was diagnosed with stage 2, went through the chemo, had both breasts removed, was on tamoxifen. 4.5 years later, it came back. The oncologist felt it was due to the tamoxifen. She had 2 tumors above the breast that she had removed and then 1 in her pelvic area. She decided to do alternatives. She lived 3 years longer than
wow.
Western medicine expected her to. But I always wondered if maybe she would have done the Herceptin for a year, if maybe that would have helped, you know, kill off the tumors.
Was she HER2 positive?
Yes. Yeah, she was triple positive, so estrogen, progesterone, and HER2-new.
Yeah. Well, I'm not an MD, but when I was counseling cancer patients, I was working almost primarily with breast cancer patients. That was when I was counseling. So Herceptin is one of those sort of wonder discovery drugs of the past 50 years. So it is too bad that she wasn't on that. But, you know, I'm not an MD, and I'm sure her doctor had a good reason for her maybe not to be on it.
Well, she didn't want anything to do with it. She did it the first time that she was diagnosed. She went through a year every month. So she did. But when it came back, she could not go back in there, you know, because the chemo almost killed her. I mean, they have to give you the strongest chemo when you go through that. And it was really traumatic for her.
Yeah.
But she, you know, she did everything she could. She did all alternative, and she was doing really, really well. It just got away from her. And I just wondered if it wasn't that her too new that, you know, because that's that high protein that sits on top of the cancer cell and just is like adding gas to the fire.
Right.
Right.
You know, I'm so sorry for your loss, and I wish we could look in the crystal ball and figure out, you know, what wasn't working and what would have worked. But I'm happy to hear that she got 3 more years than they were expecting.
Let's kill off these cancer cells. They eat sugar and everything else, don't they, Kelly?
They do. They do eat sugar. That was something that was interesting for me to find out in my research, because everyone I was studying was talking about how they reduced their sugar, their refined sugars and their refined grains and everything. Well, when you actually look at the molecular science behind it, cancer cells consume up to 50 times more sugar than a normal cell.
Yeah, they really do. That's how you starve it. Dr. Kelly Turner, her book, Radical Remission. We'll come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM as we talk about the Bermuda Triangle.